Scriptural affirmation today comes from the minor prophets, Micah 3, starting at the first verse, Micah 3. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron.
Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have made themselves ill in their doings.
Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace! And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him.
Therefore night shall be unto you, that he shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that he shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them.
Then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity.
They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity.
The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is it not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us.
Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as a high place of the Lord.
Dear Lord, sometimes we look into your word and we go, my, what are you trying to say to us? Help us this day. Help us to grasp your truth as you come, as you are with us, as we are with you, as we are together here to worship you, to learn of you, to grow in you. Touch us, change us, make us into the men and women that you've called us to be so that we might give glory to your name. Lord, we trust you, and we expect that today you will show us something new, something fresh, not new to you. But give us a fresh understanding of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't we so very glad that he sets us free? Aren't we so very glad that he is and he loves us and he cares for us? Aren't we so very glad that we are not stuck in the mess because we have been blessed? Aren't we so very glad that God loves us? He's our chain breaker. And I don't know about you, but I wrap some chains around myself sometimes. You know, I'd like to blame everybody else for my chains. You know, I'd like to blame that other person that has made a roadblock in my way. But sometimes I'm there with the torch welding my own chains together. I'm there with the torch fasting myself down and then wondering how I got in this mess. And it's a challenge. Today, with just speaking of getting in messes, I was just looking at the scripture as trying to prepare. What in the world am I going to say to these folks with this? This doesn't even seem to apply to them. I can't. How in the world will they even accept this? How will this not be some kind of superfluous thing that doesn't mean anything and everybody walks away unchanged. That's not what I want. I want people to get free. I want people to be changed. I want people to grasp who they are and whose they are and what that should mean in their lives. And I didn't know how to do that, and I struggled with this really all week and just didn't seem like I was making any progress. I decided to do something really novel. I mean, I don't know where I came up with this thing. It was just an idea, seemed out of the blue. I decided to go to the scriptures. Man, I know that's radical. But I think the word of God is for us today, and it's the key for us to understand what God is saying to us. Sometimes we forget from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, it's God's word, and the Bible is God speaking to us. The Bible is the way that God kind of helps us to understand how we are to live in this present time. You know, this last several months, 6 months maybe, I've been trying to remind us that I want us to grasp, I want us to understand, I want us to get how we are supposed to behave, how we are supposed to live in this present age. How do we navigate all of the stuff that's going on out there? How do we navigate all of the pain and frustration and hurt? How do we navigate how the circumstances that seem to have us boxed in? How do we now live in this present age? Well, for us to be able to know how we're to live, what we're supposed to do, we need to start with knowing who we are. So before I go to the scripture that we are going to be talking about today, let's talk about who we are. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, Peter reminds us through the Spirit of God who we are, or the Spirit of God through Peter reminds us who we are. Starting at the 9th verse, ye are a chosen generation. You have been chosen by him. If you know Jesus Christ, he chose you. If you know him, if you've accepted him, if you've confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he is calling you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are kings and queens, princes and princesses, standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are a royal priesthood. Your shoulders ought to go back a little bit. You ought to sit up a little straighter because you're special. You are something. You ought to give dignity to who God has already called you to be, already made you, and is shaping you even this day. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. We've been called together. We've been called together as a group of people who are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. We need to love him. We need to know him. You are a holy nation. You are part of something special. You are part of a group that has something to do. You are part of a group that was made for a purpose. Do you know that you're made for purpose? Do you know that you're made for something more than just existence? You're made for much more than just getting by. That's not good enough for you. Remember, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, so getting by is not enough. You need to grasp the truth of the word of God as he said to us, we are a holy nation, a peculiar people. I know that one you could resonate with. Yes, I'm peculiar, but peculiar in this particular case means that you are a purchased people. There was one who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, had an amazing ministry, and went to the cross, and with his blood paid for your life. His blood. He shed his blood for you. You are a peculiar people. Now, why are you all of that? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were made to show God's glory all over the earth, everywhere you are. You ever hear that term where she just enters a room and the whole room seems to light up? That's how it ought to be with each one of us. The room ought to light up because you're there, because you are a partaker of the light of the world. He wants to shine through you. You are to let your light so shine among men that they see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You are one who has been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people. Let's face it, in the time past we were messed up. I don't know about you, but I was broken. I was a mess. I was not fit for human consumption. I was not fit for this world. The only one that made me fit is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, working in my life, making change in me, helping me to be what I am supposed to be. I believe that he is, and he's moving and changing and helping me to live. He's the only reason that I have anything to say to you today. Because I say not my own words, but the word of God. You are not a people, but now we're the people of God. Can you let that sink in for a minute? The people of God? I'm God's people. Yeah. I'm God's people. That's an all right thing. There's something special. Not because of anything that I've done, but because of what he's done. I am God's people. Before, there was no mercy for me. I had not obtained mercy. But now, I have mercy. So I know who I am. I know who you are. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're called. We're his people. We're his family. So let's talk about how we're doing with the mission. Let's talk about how we're doing with who we are and how we're living in this present age. We're going to do that by looking back into the past, looking back how he began to speak to Israel, both Samaria, the northern kingdom, in Judah, the southern kingdom, how he began to speak to them and talk to them, and how they, who were a priesthood, how they, who were the people of God, how they, who were magnificently blessed, how they lived, and how they were not doing what they were called to do, and because they were not doing what they were called to do, there was hurt and pain all around them. Look at chapter 3 of Micah. Micah chapter 3. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, you people, hear. Is it not for you to know judgment?" In other words, don't you know what's right? Don't you know what to do? Haven't you heard enough sermons? Haven't you read enough Bible? Haven't you listened long enough that you should know what it is you should be doing? You've got it all messed up. You hate the good and you love the evil. You don't have your mind right. Don't you know the word of God's been telling you? You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to be changed. You need to really start to get this thing right. So you hate the good, you love the evil, and metaphorically, this was even a metaphor in these times, because this is not what they did, but this is how it is when someone who is supposed to do right does wrong. You know, just think. We have a lot of really sweet, cute little babies here. What if you just saw one of the parents? I can see Daniel kicking Lily down the aisle. Yeah. What a mess that would be. When someone who is to love and to care for and to nurture is doing just the opposite, it's like this. Who eat the flesh of my people and flay the skin off of them. It's like they've become cannibals. They break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. It's like they've made them into a savory soup. It's like they've got all this responsibility, but they've just used that to make themselves look good. Then shall they cry, verse 4, unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. They wake up one day and say, "Oh, I'm doing the wrong thing," or "The wrong thing has brought me to this place that I'm in. It's all messed up." And the Lord says, "I'm not blessing that." You know, sometimes we live lives that God just is not going to bless. Sometimes we do stuff that God's just not going to put his okay on. Sometimes we're in this mess. They cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time. Why? as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings, yet they haven't done the right thing. Sometimes we're looking for God's blessing, begging for God's blessing, and continuing to do idiot stuff. Continuing to do wrong. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord. God speaking now. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. Concerning the people that make my people err. Concerning those who have been blessed with hearing the word of God and who are supposed to speak as oracles of God to the community, who are supposed to share the truth in ways that are helpful and right. That bite with their teeth. They're angry. They're more angry so-called Christians. It's annoying. I better be careful because I get angry about that. We're supposed to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Is that what we are? Or are we angry? Concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. Oh, listen to me and you'll be free. Listen to the way I'm angry, and you be angry the way I'm angry, then you'll be great. What silliness. They cry, peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against them. You don't support their way, you know. I think you all ought to take up an extra offering just to bless me. Don't you think? Oh, well, I could try. They even prepare war against him. But therefore, night shall be unto you, as ye shall not have vision. One of the reasons that we aren't clear about what God wants to do in our lives is because we continue in sin. Don't expect God to speak to you while you're continuing down the hell hole. Okay. Therefore, night shall be unto you, and ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed. Those people that have been telling you the wrong stuff. Those people that have been saying that God's word says this when it really says something completely opposite. The diviners confounded, yea, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, and declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Sometimes the best thing that I can do is to say, hey, we, not you, we are in sin. We are not doing what we should do. We are not making disciples that make disciples the way that we should be. We are not living in such a holy way. We're supposed to be holy people, set apart for God's glory. We need to do the right thing. We need to be right. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, and that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. People can't tell you anything, can't tell you you're wrong, can't tell you you're being anti, can't tell you you're not doing what you should do, can't tell you any of that. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. That's a whole sermon in itself, I think. But we don't have to go there. That's not us. We don't have to identify with that. We need to identify with God. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No. Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Yeah, it can. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. It's important for us to stop and look in the mirror for ourselves. Are we looking at us? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Not somebody out there. What are we doing? How are we living? Are we in line with God? For me, this was a very unpleasant message to deal with. This is a very challenging message to really have to think about. So couldn't I have just skipped over this one? I thought about it. That seemed like such a good idea because I know somewhere down in my vault of ideas, I have something that will tickle your fancy and maybe leave you smiling. But I think God has spoken clearly to me on this issue. Turn with me to Ezekiel. This is how we'll end. Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. Listen, we are the people of God. We are the body of Christ. And he wants to speak to us, to a hurting, dying world. And I'm telling you, we need to speak the power, the truth, the necessity of the Word of God. In chapter 34 of Ezekiel, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. You know, the ones that are supposed to be taking care of the other sheep. Prophesy against them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel, and do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Shouldn't we be feeding those around us? Shouldn't we be helping those that are in need of help? Shouldn't we be caring for each other? Ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with wool and ye kill them that are fed, but you not feeding the flock. What are we doing? The disease have ye not strengthened. What are we doing? neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. We need to be sharing the gospel so that people are free. The word of God in Matthew tells us that Jesus looked out over the multitudes and had compassion on them. And then he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. And then in chapter 10, after he has told them to pray, he actually empowered the ones that he told to pray to be effective at sharing the gospel, effective at preaching, teaching, and healing, effective in making a difference in their community, effective in living a holy life, effective in doing what God has called us to do. But it starts with the realization that we first must walk in line with the truth. Are you ready this day to start walking in line with the truth? Are you ready? I'm ready. I don't know about you, but today, dear Father, I surrender myself afresh to you. This day, Father, I give myself completely over to you, saying that in spite of the fact that in the past, all of these things that you've accused us of, I may have been guilty of, but I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all sin. And now that I am cleansed, and now that I have been made different, and now that you have worked in my life, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. He has a right to say whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to tell me to do, whatever he wants me to do. And Savior, he took me from darkness and moved me into his marvelous light. And he has called me to share that truth so that others might know. And I refuse to be one who is silent. Today, I am yours, Lord. Maybe God is calling you this day. Maybe you know you need to take the next step up. Maybe you really never confessed Jesus as Lord. This is a great day to do that. Maybe you confess Jesus as Lord, but your life has not been there. This is a great day to do that. Maybe you're in the midst of the battle, but you're just tired and confused. This is a great day to get clarity. This is the day to take another step toward him. This is the day you can know him. Feel free to come to the altar as the guys play. I'd love to pray with you. Or maybe pray with the person next to you.